What we must have is a new American dream. We are allowed to ask any questions that we have. There are no wrong questions. A new American dream. Not of homes and toasters, but of becoming the type of country we always thought we were. The new America, the real hope of the world.
Some of those who have spoken the truth are no longer here. Their chairs at the Thanksgiving adult big table are empty. Their relatives have sent them to Siberia with a roll of their eyes. So let us begin. Here we go. Scooch up to the samovar. Maybe leave your hat and boots on. Fill your peasant hands with a warm drink. And listen for the sound of hoofbeats on the ice.
How can people have no feeling? How can they ignore their friends? Easy to be proud, easy to say no. Especially people who care about strangers, who care about evil and social injustice. Do you only care about the bleeding crowd? How about a needy friend? I need a friend. How can people be so heartless? You know I'm hung up on you, easy to be proud, easy to say no. Especially people who care about strangers, who care about evil and social injustice. Do you only care about the bleeding crowd? How about a needy friend? We all need a friend. How can people be so heartless? How can people be so cool? You know, even though I grew up in the 60s, I never got to see the musical Hair. But that situation is going to be rectified this Sunday, and I can't wait. So I thought I'd try a song from it tonight. Of course, we all may know it a little bit better by Three Dog Night, but it originally came from Hair. I'm Chuck Gregory. This is the New American Dream Radio Show, and we're streaming live from Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. It's listener-supported radio, and they deserve your support for all the great songs, great shows that they put on. So head on over to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, and don't forget to mention us if you make a donation. I am proud now to introduce my friend and co-host, Mike Palachek, an American writer.
Hello, Chuck. Tonight we are proud to welcome as guests an anti-war writer from Florida, perhaps the most dynamic member of the Catholic worker movement, one of the original members of the Black Panther Party, the only person in the world who is making a concerted effort to communicate with prisoners and publish her writings, and one of the most hardworking, eclectic researchers of the Bigfoot phenomenon. And just to say that the Bigfoot topic is not wacko, it's part of our wonderful world that we only get to see in diluted shades like our chemtrail-covered blue sky. It's part of the truth, just as the truth about Oklahoma City is part of the big truth, and 9/11 and Paris and UFOs and the murder of Bobby Kennedy. We need the truth about it all. We deserve the truth about it all, and we will have the truth about it all. And so we have a great show coming up with these special guests, Phil Ferruccio, Frank Cordero, Larry Pinkney, Anthony Racine, and M.K. Davis. And so tonight we are gathering for the New American Dream radio show in Saginaw, Minnesota, Des Moines, Chicago, Fort Lauderdale, Minneapolis, Benton, Mississippi, Port Orange, and wherever you are. And now back to you, Chuck.
This just in from the CNN Disinformation Room.
is Bin Laden's son being groomed for an Al-Qaeda role? Could Osama Bin Laden's son be the future leader of Al-Qaeda? Osama Bin Laden's son, Hamza Bin Laden, emerges as potential heir to Al-Qaeda. One of Osama Bin Laden's sons could be expanding his role. Hamza Bin Laden is believed to be in his early or mid-20s and could represent Al-Qaeda's next generation. Well, step right up, folks. It's going to be a big summer for make-believe sequels in the make-believe industry with such old-time favorites as Zero Noon 30, Breaking Dawn 2, Red Dawn 2, Hunger Games, and the Thanksgiving Adult Big Table. Star Wars 900, Back to the Future Perfect, Avatar 3, Yankees 2, Alvin and the Chipmunks 4, Ghostbusters 5, Transformers 6, Spider-Man Does Dallas, Spider-Man, Batman and the Candy Stripe Nurses, Batman and the Lone Ranger, Batman and the Beaver, Superman, Spider-Man and the Jolly Green Giant, Ice Age Hard, Shrek and Donkey Do Vegas, Hangover in Omaha, Die Hard Ice Fishing with Rocky Balboa, Pirates of the Caribbean Go Korean, Toy Story Back in the Box, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Gloom, and Titanic 2. And just in time for the election season, Osama Bin Laden 2, Did You Miss Me? The one who, wink, wink, attacked the U.S. on 9/11. Son of Bin Laden, big new, wink, wink, terror threat. Teal blue. Hamza Bin Laden, son of Bin Laden, stars in this new story as the son of the dastardly terrorist who attacked America from a cave in the mountains of Afghanistan. The deployment this week of a U.S. missile system in Eastern Europe is another step toward all-out global war. Despite Western propaganda demonizing Russia, the truth is that it's Russian military might that's actually holding the line to prevent such a cataclysm. Russian. What people need to urgently wake up to is that Washington and its European vassals and government are already at war on Russia. There's absolutely no objective justification for this destructive dynamic other than the U.S. trying to unilaterally assert its hegemony. That is not the policy of a law-abiding democracy. It's a fascist power in the same vein as Nazi Germany. Can we face it in this election season? America is a weapons factory, the White House a war room, and the president the manager of the plan to recolonize the planet. It exports war and mass poverty. On the economic front, usurious neoliberalism. On the military front, illegal wars. These are the trenches of America's battle for world domination in the 21st century. If not stopped, it'll be a short century. Since 1945, America's manifest destiny, posing as the free world's crusade against the Red Menace, has claimed 20 to 30 million lives worldwide and bombed one-third of the Earth's people. In the 19th century, America exterminated another kind of Red Menace, writing and shredding treaties, stealing and massacring and herding native populations into concentration camps called Indian reservations. in the name of civilizing the savages. By 1890, with the massacre of Lakota of Wounded Knee, the frontier land grab, internal imperialism, was over. Now there was a world to conquer. And America trained its exceptionally covetous eye on Cuba and the Philippines. American external imperialism was born. And now the big question of the day. What do we need in this country to secure our security? Bigger fences on the Mexican border, of course, right? More intense scrutiny of airplane passengers. Or could it possibly be guard towers and razor wire around McDonald's and Wendy's? More American lives are ruined by obesity than by Al-Qaeda and Bob Qaeda. So, yes, for sure, spend millions on a new fence around El Paso. Absolutely. President Barack Obama's visit to Hiroshima and Nagasaki will be his first stop on his big worldwide, well, accompanied by Derek Jeter and Michael Jordan, farewell tour of places the United States has decimated. Obama will also visit El Salvador, Guatemala, Baghdad, Syria, Afghanistan, Libya, New Orleans, Detroit, and Flint, Michigan.
Our first guest of the evening is M.K. Davis. M.K. Davis has been researching the Patterson Sasquatch film for the last 18 years. He has traveled extensively and has amassed one of the largest collection of images from the film. M.K. has trekked the Bluff Creek drainage of Northern California on many occasions, and his observations have led to several important discoveries on the film itself. And we will be talking to M.K. shortly from Benton, Mississippi.
Hello.
Well, hello, MK. It's Chuck Gregory and Mike Palachek and the New American Dream Radio Show. And you're on the air.
Oh, all right. I wanted to talk a little bit tonight about some new and exciting news coming out of Egypt. Now, the Pharaoh Akhenaten has always been a controversial figure among Egyptologists and amongst a lot of other disciplines, too. You hear a lot about Akhenaten amongst the ancient alien crowd because of his unusual looks. Akhenaten has features that are both male and female. He's got huge wide hips. He just looks like he's got both. And he's got this long, exaggerated face, the sloped back forehead, a huge elongated skull that goes way back. And no one ever found the mummy of Akhenaten. They only had statuary to go by, but the statuary was so unusual that many people thought, well, because of the controversial nature of Akhenaten, maybe he portrayed himself in this manner as being both male and female. Akhenaten was controversial not just because of his looks, but he was controversial because he adopted a religion in Egypt that turned the whole country upside down religiously. He adopted a monotheistic religion. It was one god, and the sun, who was represented by the sun, and all other gods were false idols, and he proceeded to rid Egypt of all the other representations. And much to the dismay of the religious class, the priests and the like in Egypt. So he was not very popular. And whenever he did pass away, there was a lot of his cartouches that were chipped off of the monuments, and a lot of his representations were destroyed. But some survived, and now we know that this man had an extremely unusual look. But we did not have a mummy to confirm or deny. Well, that's where the new information comes in. They've always had people looking at, you know, information and studying Egypt, Egyptologists, they call them. But like Graham Hancock once said, if they have ology or ologists after their name, you might want to avoid them, because that means simply that they're studying it. It don't mean that they figure it out. And it, apparently they did not, because these geneticists, people who knew what they were doing with DNA, got access to these mummies. The first thing they did was to test Tutankhamun, and then they compared his results with KV-55, which is the 55th mummy found in the Valley of the Kings, and lo and behold, he was Akhenaten. Akhenaten had a host of mummies laying in the floor of his tomb, and they began to test them, and there was one that was designated KV-35YW, which stood for young woman. And they tested her, and they did a mitochondrial DNA, which is for the mother. It's a lot more extensive a test. So when they got the results back, she was the mother of Tutankhamun, but she was not the wife of Akhenaten. She was not Nefertiti. And so if you go and Google Akhenaten and this new discovery about K-55, they'll have a profile picture, and it will just astound you how Akhenaten's skull looks. It looks so strange. It looks alien. And this woman that he fathered Tutankhamun with also looked that way. She too looked alien. And you got to ask yourself, why didn't he father his children with his wife and his queen? Why did he choose this woman? Well, it almost certainly had to be because of her unusualness. She looked like he did, which kind of brings you to the conclusion, or maybe points you the way, that something was going on genetically amongst those pharaohs that they were doing that has not been fully explained. Because they were striving for this type of person to come out, their offspring. They wanted him to have the long flowing skull that swept way back. They wanted him to have the hips. The hips are so wide on Akhenaten that a lot of people call them chicken legs. And then the statuary shows that he's wrapped tightly, and he looks like a woman in a dress. Even his face looks feminine. And people speculated years in the past that Akhenaten was a woman, and they just applied a fake beard to her chin because of her being a pharaoh. She had to pass as a man. But now all of that's been debunked, and it was debunked by good, solid, hard science. So all the ologists were wrong. And at one time, they even had Tutankhamun being murdered because he had a hole in his skull. Now, never mind the fact that they punch a hole in there when they do the embalming process. That little notion made its way all the way into some of the books. I read a book by Bill O'Reilly on killing Lincoln, and in there, they talked about the murder of Tutankhamun. And Tutankhamun was not murdered. No one ever proved that. It was just a theory that the History Channel had, now being proven wrong. Tutankhamun He also had the long flowing skull because he was the product of a union between two people with the long flowing skull. And he had a club foot. He had a problem with a defect with his body. And he could not walk without assistance. And we can only be thankful that there are competent people in this world who can do the test that will tell you. The bodies have always been there. The story's always been locked up in those mummies and always waiting to be told. But it took some competent, sure enough, people that knew what they were doing. And now we know Akhenaten, and now we know Tutankhamun, and we know the young woman that was his mother. And we know this was the man who turned all of Egypt on its head with his new religious concept that is actually an old religious concept. The fatherhood of heaven and the brotherhood of man is as old as time itself. And, you know, I can only say how much, you know, that I appreciate competence and good work and honesty and when they report their results. Now, I don't know how much in the way of photographs are going to be released of Akhenaten. There's only one right now, and it was released back when he was known only as K-55. So I'm sure that he's a celebrity by now, and maybe some better photographs will come down the pike, or maybe none at all, depending on how they feel about a person with this kind of looks, this kind of physical traits. But you have to ask yourself, what were they up to? What were they trying to do by deliberately breeding themselves to look like that? What are we looking at when we look at a statuary of Akhenaten? And is this some attempt to look like an alien? Is this some attempt maybe to look like an ancient form of man? Is this some attempt to maybe perhaps, you know, look like the first man, Adam, who had no wife for who knows how long and was a complete person within himself? Maybe he had both features, both male and female. You don't know. You don't know what these people knew. So, but one thing about it, a door has been opened and a key has been turned. And there will be others to step in. And these bodies from days immemorial will tell their story, perhaps. And I want to be listening for sure. Have I got any more time, Chuck?
Well, you got about a minute, so why not just remind people of where they can find you, and follow.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm going to post some more on Akhenaten on my blog. It's called thedavisreport.wordpress.com. And if you want to go there, there's also some current information on Bigfoot as well as some information on some other topics. Also, you can find me at GreenWave 2010 FB on my YouTube channel. And it's always changing, always new stuff being added. And look for some more stuff on Akhenaten coming down the pike.
Well, thank you for sharing that the information about Akhenaten. I'm always intrigued by the Bigfoot stories, but it's interesting to hear something from a different perspective here.
Well, it's certainly fresh and new, coming up out of Egypt, and like in the days of Howard Carter when he discovered Tut's tomb. It's exciting.
It certainly is. We really appreciate having you on the show each month, and I think the music's going to be starting anytime. So
show together.
We'll talk again next time.
All right. Thank you, man. Good night, everybody.
Thank you, MK.
Thank you.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning, warning.
We gotta stop them! Kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone or human being.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Give me no fries. I got an empty box.
Would you like another?
Extra big ass fries.
I said I didn't get any.
Thank you. Your account has been charged. Your balance is zero. Please
what?
Come back when you can afford
oh,
to make
no,
a purchase.
No, no.
I'm sorry you had
come on.
Trouble.
My kids are starving.
Thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio. Here at Revolution Radio, we believe in freedom of ideas, freedom of speech, but above all, we believe in freedom of existence through self-reliance. This station is 100% listener-supported, and as a fundraising promotion, I have a kick-ass free gift for a $100 donation. 35,000 seeds. 25 years in the freezer. Long-term storable, 54 different varieties. So if food prices go crazy, the shit hits the fan, or you just want to save tons of money every year by creating your own food like I do, grab our seed pack special. Just look for the banner on the homepage at freedomslips.com. Don't be a statistic. Don't be part of the problem. Be part of the solution. We need, as humans, to start taking care of ourselves and not depending on the megacorps to provide unhealthy, nasty food. Included in this package is also a DVD with 900 survival and off-grid living documents and the offline home canning how to do everything website all on the DVD. So when you're growing all that food, you know how to can it, store it, preserve it, etc. with all these documents. So thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I hope that you will pick up this package and start learning to be free. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, where information never sleeps and freedom is one seed that needs to be planted.
What we do in life, it goes in eternity.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Moonrock Books. We're a group of scholars, experts, and authors who feel the world really needs saving, and that resisting the American Empire is the right thing to do. People are starved for truth. They are given lies. They subsist on lies, but it's not really living. People are not watching TV news. They're ceasing to read newspapers, too, because they know by now they will not find it there. The biggest battle being fought anywhere is with information. If the people can receive the truth, they will do the right thing. We are publishing the truth about Sandy Hook, about the Boston bombing, about the moon landings, about the Holocaust, and much, much more. The truth. It falls upon us to fight the empire and save the world. Join us, Moonrock Books.
Now please join us for another exciting episode of Tina Thompson, Taco Bell Trainee. Tina began her training a week ago. Tony, the manager, requires each new trainee to spend one shift at each of the workstations, counter, ice cream, table cleaning, parking lot patrol, salads, burgers, fries. The final test is one day on the drive-thru window. Tony has a deal with a local movie theater, so the drive-thru people have to incorporate a blurb about the latest movies into their greeting.
Good afternoon. Now showing Red Dawn. America is saved from terrorists by a group of gutsy red, white, and blue teenagers in a small Midwestern town. Dark Zero 30. Follow a group of brave Navy SEALs in their amazing mission to kill Osama bin Laden. How may I help you? And then the person orders a number one or number five, and the drive-thru person asks if they would like to supersize that, and if they have a coupon in their chubby little fist for one night of the Kill 'Em All video game that they can check out right now by adding just 99 cents to their order with the coupon. Tina came on at noon, and by 2 o'clock, she'd already decided. She took a break and went to the restroom to put in her tongue ring, ruffled her hair, returned to her window. Have you heard about the recent Walmart strike? She asked the first car. When they said no, she asked them if they really believe Osama bin Laden had been buried at sea. Nah, he died 10 years ago, the driver said. The whole thing's a lie for political purposes, just like Jessica Lynch, WMD, and Pat Tillman. The driver's squawky answer echoed out loud back into the Taco Bell. Tina yelled, "Yeah!" raised a clenched fist and turned inside to the people at the counter. Two old ladies and a young man held up their fist for a moment, just before ordering the number two.
Like fired up beyond belief, Tina turned and addressed her next customer sitting in the blue Camry, where the drive-through lane snaked around the store and out back by the dumpster. 9/11 was an inside job. They killed Wellstone, Tina told the person. She talked about Iraq, the drug wars in prisons, and people in the line began leaving their vehicles and walking up to the squawk order board window thing instead of waiting, so they could hear what Tina was talking about. And little kids from the neighborhood stopped throwing mud balls at cats to wander over to sit in the bushes and listen to the squawk box girl. And when a group of men in a pickup wearing orange caps and orange mittens pulled up to her window, Tina told them everything she thought about hunters and hunting. They yelled, flipped her off, squealed the tires, and Tina turned to see Tony, the manager, standing there. He pointed to the note cards in the window and asked why she wasn't using them. I didn't want to, she said. Tony nodded, turned, and walked away.
The next morning, when Tina arrived for her scheduled shift, first day of being regular full-time. She didn't know if she still had a job. She stomped her feet on the rug, hung up her coat and back, and saw her photo on the bulletin board with assistant manager underneath. Tina found Tony and asked him, "What was up with that?" "You got guts, kid," said Tony. "You make us better. You complete us. Here." Tony handed Tina a box of magnetic letters and a ladder and said her first assignment as assistant manager was to go out and change the sign out front. Tina went and finished the job, backed down the ladder, stepped back a ways to see her work, put her hands on her hips and smiled as she read, "Over 100,000 tacos served, 99 cents for two soft shells, and not freaking stupid anymore." Join us next week for another episode when we will hear Tina recommend the Oswald is Innocent Chalupas and the 9/11 Truth Gordita with medium Pepsi for only $2.39.
Our next guest of the evening is Frank Cordero. Frank Cordero is a member of the Des Moines Catholic Worker. He is a former Catholic priest. He has spent over 6 years in federal prison for various actions in protest of the U.S. military machine, and Frank will be speaking to us tonight from Des Moines, I believe.
Hello, Frank. How are you?
Well, I'm on my walk. You want to do this now? This might be the best time. Can you hear me?
Sure, I can hear you just fine.
Okay, well, let's just start Thursday here at the Des Moines Catholic Worker. I spent the better part of the day cooking a kick-ass meal, two hot dishes, one with ham, the other with beef. We had the meat. It was good. It was well-received. Right now I'm on my regular walk and thinking about getting in the car tomorrow morning with Jessica Hammer of Justice Reznicek to go to Omaha and Sarpy County, south of Omaha, for our first court appearance, the little pretrial thing before the actual trial on Tuesday. So picking up, and I'm extremely grateful that we're not looking at two major felonies. We now know that they dropped it down to two misdemeanors. And say what you will, when you're looking at, you know, less than a year or you're looking at 20 years, it sure does put a whole different pressure on you. And she was prepared to take whatever they've given, but at this point it's a little lesser on our spirit to be able to speak the truth. And the charges are clearer. No more burglary and silly stuff like that. It's a misdemeanor charge of destruction of property and trespass, which are, of course, things that Justice says she's been doing all along. Now the question is, why did she do them? And the prosecutor will make efforts to keep the name of Northrop Grumman out of the transcript. We'll try to convince the jurors and the judge that it's only an issue of property and that such things as international law, war crimes, and the people who work and live off that building and make stuff that kill have nothing to do with Jess's action. So it's not untypical, and Jess will represent herself. She has Bill Quigley in her camp and a local attorney, Robert Ziegler. So, you know, I think she will witness well. Not a lot of people are going to be showing up. It's hard to get interest for this sort of thing. Mostly friends and comrades. Looking forward to seeing Carl Cabot. He's coming. Father Carl Cabot's a Catholic priest in his 80s, done more jail time for a nuclear protest than anyone else, except for perhaps Helen Woodson, one of his sidekicks. Greg Borchek is coming down with Michelle. Both of them are Plowshares activists who are coming from the Duluth Catholic Worker. So I know that's happening. So friends will come and gather. We'll we'll have a couple of public night things. The jury pool now will be 6 people on a jury instead of 12. We're looking forward to finishing this leg of the witness.
Well, that's very good news that it was reduced to the misdemeanor.
Yeah, it just is. I mean, she'll take the felony, but hey, when they knock it down through no fault of our own, except diligently saying, you know, your bogus charges don't even meet the $5,000 threshold for felonies, and the prosecutors finally had to admit that was true. Hmm. So it's typical. They just overcharge everybody, and then they whittle it down to a plea bargain. It goes for justice. It's hardly justice. I can tell you that, brother.
That's for sure.
So this time next week, hopefully we'll be able to tell you stuff about what's going on, all right?
Okay, well, I'm hoping for some good news next week.
Thank you, brother. Thanks, Greg. See you, folks. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Frank. Bye-bye.
Our next guest of the evening is Anthony Rayson. Anthony Rayson is an American anarchist, activist, and author. He runs the South Chicago ABC Zine Distro and publishes many zines and pamphlets, often containing the writing of inmates in American prisons. DePaul University holds a special collection of Rayson's work, which you can find online. Just look for Anthony Rayson, DePaul University Special Collection. And Chuck will be getting Anthony on the line right about now.
Hello.
Well, hello, Anthony. It's Chuck Gregory, Mike Palachek, the New American Dream Radio Show, and you're on the air.
Very good. Thank you. Tonight I thought I would read a few letters from prisoners. Although they're personal letters to me, they will try to give you an insight on what's going on in there. They'll talk a little bit about their situation, and you get a real feel for how what's going on with them. So the first letter is from Corey Manchild Henderson, who's in Gatesville, Texas prison on the Hughes unit. He writes, "Dear Anthony, it's been a season or two since we've last exchanged correspondence, but I remain strong. This carceral state directly shapes and deforms the lives of tens of millions of people who have never been arrested or served a day in prison. Millions of children, including 1 in 4 New Africans, will grow up having had an imprisoned mother or father. Numerous neighborhoods and communities have been depopulated and ended up as so many of the young men and women have been sent away to prison. I'm taking a liberal studies class and I'm writing a research paper on prisons for profit. I noticed in your 2016 zine catalog some zines titled 5 Corporations You've Never Heard Of Are Making Millions from Mass Incarceration and Linking Social Justice to Monetary Reform. Will you please, sir, send me these zines and any other zines related to prison profiteers and or how law enforcement groups, the private corrections industry, and financial devised bonds to fund the carceral state. I appreciate your time and assistance." So he's looking to research into private prison, so I did send him several publications pertinent to what he was looking for. Here's one from Jesus Vega. He's the Menard prison in Illinois, the infamous Menard. He writes, "Greetings. I hope as a lot that these thoughts catch the wind, as these catch them and they're able to find you and all the other comrades at the distro and beyond well and full of fight. First, I want to send my gratitude for the zine catalog that was sent to me. I received it about a month and a half ago. I wanted to request some zines from the catalog that I am really interested in. I see a whole lot of zines I would love to read. I mean a lot. There are a lot of interesting things. I truly appreciate the time that has been and was still being dedicated to help spread knowledge. That's very much needed within gulags because a lot of guys are blind to the reality of what's really going on around them and the war we find ourselves in. the war for our humanity, dignity, and minds, we need to also understand the mental torture techniques that's being inflicted on us all to achieve mental submission and turn into their good robots. What's sad is that a lot of guys are falling for the trick. I spent the last 3 years in the oppressive mental torture chambers, what the oppressors call administrative detention, behind a steel door for 24 hours a day for a reason that to this day are still fully unknown. So after 3 years of mental oppression, I was finally released 4 months ago, but after refusing to submit to the lynching techniques, I find myself again behind a steel door in segregation, not AD, but all the same. While trapped in the torture chambers, what helped me retain my sanity was and still are reading materials like zines and similar material. It allowed me to arm myself mentally against the mental warfare that's being waged against us all. It allowed me to understand what I'm really up against. I try to spread the truth of our reality in these gulags, so hopefully they too can break free from the mental chains that are being placed on their minds and hopefully stop falling for their tricks. Brothers are quick to look down at each other as we are caged the same way. If one guy looks at another captive too fast, he'll be willing to fight in a heartbeat. But if the oppressor treats them like shit and disrespects him, he'll just put their head down and say, "Sorry, sir." It blows my mind how programmed guys are around here, as I've heard and still hear guys saying, "My problem isn't with these people, the oppressors. They aren't my enemies. These niggas are the ones I have a problem with." I try to enlighten these guys that they don't have the power or aren't the ones that decides when or if we go on lockdown, which stops all the movement or taking your things or harassing our family when they come to visit us, drive over 300 miles, or charging our loved ones to use the phone and hear their voices. The oppressors are the ones who are inflicting the emotional distress on you. As you might guess, the lynchism is strong within this concentration camps and feed the ideologies that the masters are your sole only friends. Yes, minds are thoroughly washed, sad to say, but it's true. I refuse to be so programmed. So here I am in search of mental weapons, and I am truly grateful that there are comrades out there like yourself and others that look beyond the numbers and don't feed to society's notion that we should be caged like a wild animal, when in reality a wild animal is meant to be free. So again, thanks for the time and effort. And he has a list of zines he wants. He's in a prison in Menard. Okay, the next guy, his name is Jose Martinez. He's a prisoner at Butner, North Carolina. And he writes, "Hi, I'm an inmate on a medium close custody prison in North Carolina. While I've been incarcerated, I've met a lot of different people, but I've met a lot with the same mindset that dealing drugs, carrying a pistol, or robbing is cool. I've done my share of all those things in my short 20 years. They have a saying, jumped off the porch early. Well, I was one of those few that was forced to get off the porch with my younger brother, who was also locked up in a prison close to the one I'm in. At the age of 13, me and my little brother were roaming the streets of Atlanta, Georgia, homeless, doing anything to keep food or a roof over our head, even if that meant robbing somebody to get money for food and breaking into an abandoned house to sleep through the night. I'm not proud of these things, but it was part of survival. Now that I'm older and have spent time locked up over several occasions, I've noticed that you guys like me think it's cool to live that lifestyle, but most see it as a game or just fun, but they don't know what it's like to be forced to live in my homie gave me bomb fragments for the mind number 3, and it changed a lot of ways I viewed life and situations in general, and I would like to know how we can get more. Thank you." So he's just getting hip to, you know, getting a reality check look on life. Sadly, he's already, you know, incarcerated, as is his brother, since they were not even barely teenagers. Here's another one from a fellow named Christopher Kanigan. He's in Cameron, Missouri prison. He writes, I received the previous lit that I requested from your service, and I would like to express my gratitude. The speech from Malcolm X was very moving, and the pamphlet on the Black Panther Party 10-point program and all the other small writings were very informing. Again, I would like to give my thanks. At the current time, I am being held in segregation, and the administration is giving us problems with obtaining green checks. However, I did receive the letter you sent along with the other contents, and I should be leaving and returning to population by the end of May. So when I do, I'll give you my word that I will send some sort of contribution, even though it may not be much. If I can send it before then, I will, but if not, then surely by the beginning of June. I appreciate the spread of knowledge you men are offering and understand how needed it is amongst young black men. Now I would like to request a few things that caught my attention. So it has a list. Then it continues, I have honestly been moved by the amount of literature and information your service is providing, and I actually intend to read every pamphlet listed, so if needed, I don't mind sending SASEs. I do have financial support, so as I said before, I'll be making donations to support your cause, but if there is a limit to what I can receive on each request, please send a letter informing me. I would like to thank you for your efforts at educating comrades and young brothers in the struggle, because rather or not it's acknowledged, it still very much so exists. So he wants to read everything. Well, that's going to be a tough thing to accomplish, but I will send him what I can, certainly. Here's a fellow, Robert Gulbranson. He's in prison in Portsmouth, Virginia. Dear Anthony, thank you so much for the zines you last sent me. We all cannot get enough of them and take them apart word by word, discuss every single idea, and read them until they are worn through. I will be a hostage of the state for the next 12 years, and zines help make the time just a little easier. As you suggest in the zine called Zine Workshop, I am trying to order lots of zines and read as many as possible. If it's not too much, please send a few more. As I said, you have helped make a few guys' time just a little bit easier. Thanks again. Here's one. He's an old friend of mine, a great guy named King Gillian. He's in a prison in Lancaster. And he's been sexually abused since he was a little boy, and he's just finally able to start writing about it. And that's what my next scene is going to be about, his story. Anyway, this is a nice little card he sent me. It says, I apologize for the card, Anthony, but it's all I have. I just needed you to know that over the last 10 years, you've made a huge impact on my mental stability and my outlook on life, my plans for the future and happiness. I have no more biological family to speak of that supports me in any way. I'm a person who was born from incest, abused, raped, and a survival by people who should have been nurturing me, not torturing me, but I am no longer suicidal or unloved or unwanted or a misunderstood leper I was convinced I was. Now I have the most amazing, encouraging, supportive uncle family I could ever ask for. Thank you, Anthony, for sincerely caring about me. I may never get out of here, but I thank you, Anthony, for your genuine love and support. You've literally saved my life. So it is very important and impactful that we make these human relationships.
And thank you so much for being
with us. Thank you.
Bye.
Talk to you next month. Bye-bye.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Enjoy your
extra big ass fries.
You didn't give me no fries. I got an empty box.
Would you like another
extra big ass fries?
I said I didn't get any.
Thank you. Your account has been charged. Your balance is zero. Please
what?
Come back when you can afford
oh,
to make
no,
a purchase.
No.
I'm sorry you're
come
having
on.
Trouble.
Come on. My kids are starving.
Thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio.
Here at Revolution Radio, we believe in freedom of ideas, freedom of speech, but above all, we believe in freedom of existence through self-reliance. This station is 100% listener-supported, and as a fundraising promotion, I have a kick-ass free gift for a $100 donation. 35,000 seeds. 25 years in the freezer. Long-term storable, 54 different varieties. So if food prices go crazy, the shit hits the fan, or you just want to save tons of money every year by creating your own food like I do, grab our seed pack special. Just look for the banner on the homepage at freedomslips.com. Don't be a statistic. Don't be part of the problem. Be part of the solution. We need, as humans, to start taking care of ourselves and not depending on the megacorps to provide unhealthy, nasty food. Included in this package is also a DVD with 900 survival and off-grid living documents and the offline home canning how to do everything website all on the DVD. So when you're growing all that food, you know how to can it, store it, preserve it, etc. with all these documents. So thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I hope that you will pick up this package and start learning to be free. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, where information never sleeps and freedom is one seed that needs to be planted.
What we do in life, it goes in eternity.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, and you will catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We gotta stop them! They're gonna kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings!
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart that you can't take part, you can't even passively take part, and you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop, and you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you got it.
Rick, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
Did you ever feel that things were not quite right? That everything was just ever so slightly askew?
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download it to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Mackie.
And we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays 2 to 4 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here. The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Now, from Port Orange, Florida, with stops at World News Trust and Nation of Change and many other sites, here's Phil Ferrugia with It's the Umpire, Stupid.
Okay, good evening, Working Stiffs. This is part two of America, the Mad Magazine of 2016. I hope those listening to this remember Mad Magazine in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. It was the most satirical, even political satirical and socially satirical magazine of its time. And we had the guy who actually looked very similar to George W. Bush was Alfred E. Newman. If you look at pictures of George W. Bush with that stupid look on his face, deer caught in the headlights look, Alfred E. Newman. Anyway, this is part two. Okay, the next section of this America 2016 Mad Magazine is our current presidential horse race, replete with continued saturation in the media of the two-party, one-party political mania. It is as if there is no other options for we poor voters at all. You are either with, as Ralph Nader used to say, Tweedledum or Tweedledee. Now take a look at what this empire serves up to you. We have a super-rich, shall we say, filthy-rich, reality television star flying under a phony populist banner. A man who has done virtually nothing for the working stiffs in his entire business life, yet he attracts them like flies to you know what, only because he is the anti-politician. He promises to bring jobs back to America. Yes, he will. And what kind of jobs will they be? Low-paying non-union, because he's non-union, by the way. Factory jobs at $10 to $15 an hour that will not support a family. Or perhaps the kind of jobs he's used to hiring in his hotel and resort business. You know, doormen, janitors, chambermaids, kitchen help. His main opponent would love to see our nation transformed. Well, he used to be his main opponent. He's no longer in the race. But Ted Cruz wants to see our nation transformed into a born-again, Bible-toting, rifle-shooting police state that rules the world with military might. Now, these two clowns just love to talk tough about bombing the crap out of any enemy chosen for the moment. Yet, where was the Donald during the Vietnam era? Did he sign up to fight the good fight? Or did he show his disdain for the whole mess by active protest along with other college peers? As for the other joker, where was he during the first Gulf War? He was of age to sign up. How come he didn't sign up and fight those terrible Arabs that he now wants to bomb into smithereens? It's a joke. Anyway, the final section of this Mad Magazine America 2016 belongs to the, quote, "we feel your pain" Democrats. Enough should be known about Miss, as they call her, Killery, just from her opponent's rhetoric during the debates, except, of course, concerning the Libyan massacre, because Feel the Burn supported that disgrace. Miss Killery is so far to the right of the on the important issues concerning the military-industrial empire that even the ultra-right-wing Koch brother thinks she is not so bad after all and may be quite presidential. Now, as for Feel the Burn, the man does have great ideas concerning our working stiffs and standing up to Wall Street, etc. Yet when it comes to the same military-industrial empire, folks, he remains silent. And why not? He is, after all, classified and running as a Democrat, isn't he? He won't go against his president and all the terrible things that man has allowed to happen under his name. You know, continued occupations, extraordinary rendition, drone missile attacks, bank bailouts, to name but a few. Plus the fact that Bernie will have all those fine young first-time activist kids being told that he will support Miss Killery once she gets the nod. Now, methinks leaders of new movements, as he calls this Feel the Burn thing, should lead by example. So, this new issue of America, Mad Magazine of 2016, will be difficult to purchase in your mainstream outlets. I'm sorry, folks. You need to really study history and truth to power to enjoy it, once you can find it out there. Thank you, and good night.
And the great owners who must lose their land and upheaval, the great owners with access to history, with eyes to read history and to know the great fact, when property accumulates in too few hands, it is taken away. And that companion fact, when a majority of the people are hungry and cold, they will take by force what they need. And the little screaming fact that sounds through all history, repression works only to strengthen and knit the repressed. The great owners ignored the three cries of history. The land fell into fewer hands. The number of the dispossessed increased. And every effort of the great owners was directed at repression. The changing economy was ignored. Plans for the change ignored, and only means to destroy revolt were considered, while the causes of revolt went on. And now for your local Earth news. This is Chuck Gregory and Mike Palachek with a review of today's news from the eye of the hurricane and the eye of the blizzard.
The annual Left Forum will be held this weekend at the John Jay College of Criminal Justice at the City University of New York, 860 11th Avenue. A unique phenomenon in the U.S. and the world, Left Forum convenes the largest annual conference of a broad spectrum of left and progressive intellectuals, activists, academics, organizations, and the interested public. Conference participants come together to engage a wide range of critical perspectives on the world to discuss differences, commonalities, and alternatives to current predicaments and to share ideas for understanding and transforming the world. The conference is held each year in New York City. They talk about all kinds of good things for years and years, but never getting to the question, never bothering with, never really having the guts to confront the real question that any good reporter, if there were any, would ask. A good reporter like Kevin Barrett. But this year he will be there finally at the Left Forum this weekend talking about the truth. And the truth is where peace begins. It's absolutely astounding that all these smart people have not realized that in all these 15 years since the attacks of September 11, 2001. It's the essential element that is routinely left out of left discussion in the United States for reasons unknown. But anyway, Dr. Kevin Barrett, Chris Emery, and Richard Dolan will be presenting this weekend in New York City at the Left Forum. Go see it. And also appearing at the Left Forum will be Green Party presidential candidate Jill Stein. You can access today's New York Daily News interview by Gersh Kuntzman with Stein at nydailynews.com.
An excerpt from that interview. The American electorate is angry. Two parties are nominating candidates with historically high negatives. Everyone is crying out for another choice on the ballot. So why is the Green Party candidate polling at 2%? That was my first question to that very Green Party candidate Dr. Jill Stein, in the midst of an election season that reveals a weird disconnect in our politics. The system is broken, yet voters don't seem to want it fixed. I'm at 2% because the political system is designed to suppress political opposition, Stein said. I'm talking about the money it takes to get on the ballot, the rules of ballot access, the rules of debates in which the Democratic and Republican parties control the Presidential Debate Commission itself. When you factor in corporate collusion, it's difficult to be heard. We don't need wars for oil, so that frees up trillions. And it pays for itself in health benefits by eliminating pollution. We spend $3 trillion not on a health care system, but a sick care system. Our energy, transportation, and food systems make us sick. These savings are all hardwired into the Green New Deal. Jill Stein will appear in New York at the Left Forum May 20 to 22 at John Jay College of Criminal Justice, 860 11th Avenue between 58th and 59th Streets. She'll be on panels focusing on Bernie Sanders, climate justice, and racial issues in the left. She'll have a meet and greet on May 21 at Perdition Bar from 8:30 p.m. until 11 p.m. That's all, folks. That's the news, and we are out of here. Good night and good luck, and so it goes. That's the way it is. Stay on the same page. Step up to the plate. Good to go. Take it to the next level. At the end of the day, bring something to the table. Have a good day. It is what it is. It's time to wake up. Your toast is ready. The bus is here. The world is on fire.
Our next guest of the evening is Larry Pinkney. Larry Pinkney is a Black Panther Party veteran, former Minister of Interior of the Republic of New Africa, former political prisoner, and the only American to have successfully self-authored his civil political rights case to the United Nations under the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights. And Larry will be speaking to us tonight from Minneapolis, and Chuck will be getting Larry Pinkney on the line right about now.
Larry Pinkney speaking.
Well, hello, Larry. It's Chuck and Mike and the New American Dream Radio Show, and you are on the air.
Thank you very much, my brother Chuck and my brother Mike. I'm going to be extremely brief today. Got some other matters that I really, really need to deal with. But I want to say this. Today is May the 19th, 2016. It is the birthday of, among other people, Malcolm X. That is to say, El-Haj Malik El-Shabazz, Malcolm X. And I'm simply going to do this. I'm going to read a quote that Malcolm made just prior to his death. And I want people to understand what this is about. The Democrats and the Republicans are playing us like a fiddle. And, you know, we need to understand what Malcolm was saying. And that is, of course, why they killed him. Here's the quote. He said, quote, "I believe that there will ultimately be a clash between the oppressed and those who do the oppressing. I believe that there will be a clash between those who want freedom, justice, and equality for everyone and those who want to continue the system of exploitation. I believe that there will be that kind of clash. But I don't think it will be based on the color of the skin." Unquote. Malcolm X, El-Haj Malik El-Shabazz. Today is May 19th. It is the birthday of Brother Malcolm. It also happens to be the birthday of a number of other freedom fighters internationally, around the world, nationally and internationally. But I just want to say this, and then I'm going to end. I want to say that as we look at the so-called election, which is nothing more than a selection, let us understand that it is time for us to bring this monolithic, all right, this monolithic duopoly down. Duopoly, what do I mean by that? All I mean is that the Democrat and the Republican parties are different sides of the same coin. All right? I'm going to leave it at that. I must go for now. But I want to say to the audience of the New American Dream radio show, I appreciate you. I love you, brothers and sisters. And I'll end by simply saying, all power to the people. Thank you. Next time I will have more to say. Right now, must deal with a few other things. Thank you so much. All power to the people.
Larry, thank you so much for being for joining us tonight when you did have these other issues going on. We really appreciate being part of our show, and we'll talk to you next month. And all best to you and your family.
Thank you, my brother. I really appreciate it, and my family appreciates it. As I said, we're dealing with some serious medical issues with the family. Thank you. All power to the people.
The 9/11 Museum was unveiled and opened a few years ago in New York City, which begs the question, where will the Museum for Democracy be placed? It should be in Washington, D.C., we would think. Or yeah, you're right. Right next to the 9/11 Museum in New York City, I know, right? The Museum for Democracy will have a walkway from the 9/11 Museum and will have artifacts from September 11, 2001, such as the TV tapes and transcripts telling us not 10 minutes after it happened that it was done by Osama bin Laden. There will also be the missing video from the surrounding area showing the missile hitting the Pentagon. The Democracy Museum will also have artifacts from November 22, 1963. From Oklahoma City, from Waco, from the Wellstone murder, RFK, MLK, 9/11, Sandy Hook, Boston. The Democracy Museum will have the tape of Dan Rather telling us the Zapruder film shows Kennedy's head and body lurching forward. It will have the bullets found on the street next to J.D. Tippit's body, the second and third unexploded bombs found inside the Murrah building, the charred bodies of the children at Waco, the flight recorder of the Wellstone plane, the photos in the pantry of the Ambassador Hotel confiscated by the Los Angeles police, the real investigation into who are H. Wayne Carver, Gene Rosen, and Robbie Parker, the real investigation into who really died or was injured at the Boston Marathon, and stuff like that. And now a public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, Walmart, and Martha Stewart. We are now on triple secret orange alert. Pull the apple pies from the windowsill, secure the baseball fields, secure the Chevrolets, secure Grandma. Bubba Kida and Bubba Sis have been spotted in the USA. They are born in a small town in little pink houses, getting their thrills on Blueberry Hill. Getting their kicks on Route 66. Be afraid. Be very afraid. Now, pull up close some flannel and some pie and a Lutheran. It's again time for your Lake Wobegon American Dream naptime story. America is Nazi Germany and worse because we don't know yet it is, and we have not yet hit bottom. But we persist in sleepwalking the American dream all the same. As George Carlin said, you have to be asleep to believe it. The lawns are still looking green. Garrison Keillor began his soporific monologue last Saturday talking about the start of school, the end of summer, Lake Wobegon and Pastor Inkvist and Our Lady of Perpetual Responsibility, the hopeful gospel singers. And why not? Why not lose oneself in fantasy in order to live one more happy day in America, holding the door tight against reality with one hand while cutting the Thanksgiving turkey with the other? But we can't help but ask why. Why don't those with influence use that influence to tell us about what it is, what is real? Sure, they can do what they want with their cachet. Keeler has this immense talent and great idea and longevity. He can do what he wants, and he will. Well, of course. As well as the movie producers, technicians, musicians, artists, novelists, screenwriters. They put in the long hours for decades and just barely make it. And then when they do, why should they throw it away, for heaven's sake? This has been your Lake Wobegon American Dream Nap Time Story, sponsored by Jack's Auto Repair, Ralph's Pretty Good Grocery, Bertha's Kitty Boutique, also by the Sidetrack Tap, Bunsen Motors, Krebs Box Chevrolet, and Powdered Milk Biscuits. Heavens, they're tasty and expeditious. And now for another episode of The Lives of the Cowboys. We see John Belushi and the ISIS Deathmobile headed straight for Duke and Bubba Steve on the curb on Main Street and the cruiser in the middle of the homecoming parade. They leap out just as the Deathmobile smashes their front quarter panel. They land in the street and on the sidewalk as the car explodes. John Belushi, the ISIS leader, leaps above the flames, climbs the fire escape to the top of the Woolworth Building. There he looks down upon the whole town, swooping his sword around. Bubba Steve sits on the sidewalk watching. Duke sits in the street looking straight up at ISIS Belushi, who has taken over the town. Dude, Allah effing Akbar, says Bubba Steve, ripping open a pack of red Twizzlers with his teeth. I know, right, says Duke. The Lives of the Cowboys, sponsored by Twizzlers, in the bright red plastic. And now for your nightly news, Andy Rooney-type comment, but he's not here anymore, just saying. Blood from the baby, body of a baby bombed to death in Baghdad, blood by the pint, running onto the street as fast as a swift river, has magic in its pure infant cells. Of course, you cannot scrub the street clean because the blood from the baby already has covered the street and is in the air. As they get off at Camp David, Bush's hand brushed against baby blood on the plane, as does his wife's. At this hour in London, Blair arises in the middle of his long night and goes to the bathroom to try and wash this blood off. He couldn't do it before he went to bed. In Washington, Rumsfeld stares at the red splotches on both his hands, and Colin Powell calls out that there must be something wrong with the soap because it does not get the blood off his hands. At Camp David, Bush notices blood on his right hand and he goes to the bathroom to wash it off, and he holds his hands under the water and rubs them with a bar of soap and then puts them under the water and he takes them out and holds them up to dry with a towel. He glances at his hands and sees the blood of the dead baby is bright on his red fingers. He mutters and washes the hands again. He will do it again. Again this year and next year and through all the years, because the blood remains forever on the hands. And now for another episode of Just Living the Dream, episodes in the lives of real Americans. We see the Thomas family in the SUV. Mom is driving into the drive-thru, and everyone else is watching individual TVs. Mom hollers back, asking what everyone wants on their boogers. Nobody answers. Everyone keeps staring at their TVs. The drive-through lane inches forward. Mom grows increasingly nervous. She hollers louder. The children turn up the volume on the TVs. Mom screams that they are getting dangerously close to the order box. We have to decide. We have to decide. Still no answer. Still no answer. Hello? Tune in next week for another episode of Just Living the Dream, episodes in the lives of real Americans. And I'd like to say briefly here, if you want to, anybody wants to get a hold of Anthony Rayson, if you want to, you can write to nwest, my email is nwestiowa@gmail.com. I was thinking that maybe somebody would like to maybe help contribute, or maybe you know of a prisoner who would like to correspond with Anthony, any way to be a part of his prisoner writing program, you can write to me and I could forward that to him, nwestiowa@gmail.com. And also that would be the same thing for any of our guests, M.K. Davis, you can write to me and I'll forward that to them, and also Larry Pinkney, and also Phil Ferruccio in Port Orange, Florida, and Frank Cordero in Des Moines. And I would like to, if I had the correct address right on my fingertips, I would give out address of the Des Moines Catholic Worker for anybody who would like to contribute. But you can, well, you could write to, maybe we'll try and get that next week. But if you want, again, if you want to contact me, I can somehow put you in touch with Frank Cordero. And my email again is nwestiowa@gmail.com.
Safe? Do you have the necessary information to assist you in confidently living through just about any survival situation? Is survival and gardening, off-grid living, medical knowledge, or even natural or man-made EMPs on your list of personal concerns? Do you have your documents and your personal information in a safe place in your hands where you know where it is? Well, check out our preloaded EMP-proof thumb drive. Over 3 gigs of survival documents and how-tos, plus the USDA offline food preservation website, and much, much more, including a surprise bonus we just can't tell you about here. With plenty of room left over to store your most important documents, imagine if a megavirus or a computer failure took out your bank, or all the banks for that matter. Are your banking records safe in your hands? So when they get things fixed and repaired, you can say, hey, look, this is what I had. You have it. I want it back. Is your personal data safe? Family records, addresses, phone numbers? We'll squeeze on over to freedomslips.com. Yes, that's www.freedomslips.com. Click the banner on the homepage for the EMP-proof bullet drive to get the full scoop of everything that we offer. So, folks, keep your data safe for your peace of mind. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here. Opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
And now some notes we have been receiving during the first half of our show from listeners by email, chat room, telephone, telepathy, and telegraph. From Betty in Bedrock, we hear, the Democratic Party is not an association of political virgins and pacifists, but the second oldest capitalist party on the planet. Steeped in blood from its origins as the party of the Southern slave owners, it is the party of World War I, World War II, Korea, and Vietnam, of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. From Kenny in Colorado, I inherited from my father and still nourish the notion that Republicans are those who have acquired enough money, often by inheritance and blind luck, to entertain the opinion that their fellow citizens should work harder and be more grateful to the moneyed class, while they refrain from work themselves and sit in clean rooms with folded soft hands, examining their bank statements and brokerage reports. And from Laurie Mondello in Mayfield, we hear,
why doesn't the government reopen the Kennedy case? Why doesn't the government admit there was a massive cover-up? Why doesn't it admit the Warren Commission was selling a fairy tale and that the House Committee on Assassination sold a revised version of the same fairy tale? I think the reason the government doesn't take action and hides behind a wall of silence today is because the whole subject is so radioactive that to get involved, there's nothing but to get involved, there would be nothing but risk, blame, exposure. If any president of the United States, if you put yourself in their shoes, politicians, senators, congressmen, any chief executive, as soon as they say anything about the Kennedy assassination that would indicate they don't agree with the official version, it would cause a massive uproar. I think that everyone hides behind a wall of silence, quite frankly, out of cowardice. The cover-up of this assassination was implemented in the 1960s by guilty men and by people who knew they were telling lies. But from the mid-70s on, the cover-up has been perpetuated by cowards. And that's been true since 1978. It's really tragic. People in this country don't need to be protected from the truth. We've had three assassinations in the 60s. Nobody believes the official stories on King, RFK, or JFK. We've had Vietnam. We've had Watergate. We've had Iran-Contra. And we had the lies about the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. We don't need to be protected from the truth. We can handle the truth. If we can learn the truth, we can move forward with confidence and try to prevent those things from happening again. But you're not going to ever going to find anyone in the U.S. government who wants to do anything with this case again. South Africa, we had truth commissions, and people told the truth after apartheid was over, and at least people came to understand their own history a little better. These people in the United States who really know the truth about all that's happened, they can't tell the truth, because then nobody would pay their taxes, nobody would care about the military budget anymore, and everyone will get thrown out of office. We have a government that changes hands on the surface every 4 years and every 2 years and every 6 years, but which in reality isn't much different from the previous one and is still pursuing the same interests at the expense of the needs of people. In the long run, we'd be better off for it. We'll be a more mature country, a more understanding country, and better able to safeguard ourselves in the future if we knew exactly what went down in 63. And in 68, and the government would fess up to it, and we could examine it and study it in detail, we would be much better off in the long run, because then we could move forward confidently and try to prevent such abuses in the future. Only in that way can we recover our respect as a people and move forward much wiser and more confident about where we should be heading in the future.
Some notes we have been receiving during the first half of our show from listeners by email, chat room, telephone, telepathy, and telegraph.
Well, it's been another long week in Moon Rock Lake, Ohio, my hometown at the end of the empire. The attacks of 9/11 happened what should seem a long time ago, but it does not. It seems like yesterday. There are people still locked away in Guantanamo, war still being fought, people being killed, lies being told, new lies, old lies perpetuated, placed on monuments, all connecting in a straight line through the hearts of us all, right to that day, that morning. September 11, 2001, happened everywhere, even to Moon Rock Lake. And now it can be told, at least something of how it affected the lives of the people there. The story of at least a few of the people who lived here during that time. Enough time for someone to be born and grow to high school age. Enough time for those in high school at the time to have children of their own who don't have any reason to question, to ask questions. And so we could be quiet and let them be comfortable in not knowing. We could do that. Some of us still hear the news reports of those days, quotes we read somewhere, playing in our minds, like there's a radio somewhere, tuned to 12 years ago. You had to be there, as the saying goes, to understand what it was like. Kate Smith on the radio, George Bush on the TV, the towers coming down. The car stopped. A small white domestic with rust in its wheel wells, slowly rolling to a halt at the stop sign, but not in front of the sign, rather behind it, perpendicular, at odds with the sign. The car sat with two tires halfway covered by the ditch brome grass. A man pulled himself out of the driver's door and walked around the back of the car, carrying something flimsy in his hand, pinching it with two fingers as the breeze caught it. He stood next to the sign, judging his height by it, looking down the old dirt road to where it was forced to climb a short hill, where the aged path at once grew ancient, with grass down its middle, like an old man's eyebrows, and unchecked tufts on both sides. The man, wearing a t-shirt, tennis shoes, and green shorts to his knees, took two steps to put himself in front of the stop sign. He raised the bumper sticker to eye level and concentrated on tearing off the backing, letting the two slick slips drift into the grass. Carefully, he raised the red sticker with white letters up to the stop sign and smoothed it diagonally across the T and the O, then moved back, careful not to step down into the ditch. "We are being lied to," the man read, without moving his lips. The smell of hogs rode the breeze. He looked up at the sound of barking geese and tried to locate the V. He took one step forward to reach up and attempt to smooth the bubble in the middle of the sticker. At the sound of a helicopter's blades, without looking up, the man strode deliberately to his car. Way out here, that noise only meant someone being rushed to the city hospital after a car crash, a heart attack, or a tractor rollover. He got in, started it up, and pulled onto the gravel. Gradually, he accelerated and felt the pedal pull away from his foot to the floor. The man's mouth and eyes went wide as he scrambled to find the cruise control. Keeping one white hand on the wheel, he stretched and clawed down to try to pull the pedal from the floor. The speedometer climbed to 60, 70, then 85. As the car approached an old wooden bridge on a curve. The man tried to push the door open as he fought to stop the car by squeezing the steering wheel and soiling his clothes. Cooper Light strode furiously through the nursing home, stuffing folded newspapers between the doorknobs and the frame, trying to get his route done before school. His two hands worked in tandem, ripping out the favorite grocery ad, stuffing them into his paper bag, then twisting the papers to fit. Stupid old people, he thought, with their flags scotch taped to the doors and the postcard saying, "God bless America." Sits and does not move. Plays cards alone in the dark. Walks away and cannot return. Cooper played his game of making up Indian names for white people. He delivered the daily paper for over 2 years now, since just before the September 11 attack. Cooper had read the propaganda headlines, and he had scanned the underground websites on his computer at home, jammed into the corner, surrounded by boxes like Oswald's sniper nests. And he had fought to understand how the editors of the paper he worked for could claim to live in the same world. Nothing ever printed about the new pipeline through Afghanistan, the murder of Paul Wellstone, or the government manipulation of the Trade Center debacle. The Bushes and Cheney probably planned the whole thing years ago. How did it happen that the two towers came down almost together, symmetrically, in a heap, like when a building is taken down by dynamite? And you also know, on the day that 9/11 happened, Phil Berrigan was in federal prison for beating a hammer on a nuclear submarine or something, and they put him in isolation for his own safety. Yeah, right. As if he was ever afraid or had any reason to be afraid. The other prisoners would not have taken out some misplaced patriotism on him. They know what time it is. It was because he was a threat to the system, a leader. And they fear leaders like me. Cooper rolled the paper into a tight tube and placed it expertly at room 419. Without thinking, he grabbed the next paper from his bag, walked down the carpeted walkway, and again thought about what had happened. Cooper had been sitting in the hall at St. Rose Middle School on the wooden bench left over from the middle school intellectual purges of the McCarthy days. He sat with his legs crossed at the ankles, hands folded in his lap, trying to look unconcerned, watching the sweeping hand on the hall clock, listening to Mrs. Feenster's English class, smelling the lasagna from the cafeteria. Mr. Schmidt walked by in his gym clothes, whistle around his neck, staring at Cooper's t-shirt, then shook his head at the floor as he kept marching. Cooper put his chin to his chest to again read the t-shirt, the reason for his being on the pine outside the principal's office. The shirt was white, with a ketchup stain on the breastbone, surrounded by a penumbra of water from the fountain where Cooper tried to rub it out. Underneath the stain was a black picture of President Bush with a crosshairs on the forehead. Below it said, "Not my president." And so as soon as Cooper walked into Mr. Freeman's room that morning wearing the same shirt that Freeman had told him yesterday not to wear to school again, Freeman had turned from writing on the chalkboard. He stalked toward Cooper, gripped him tightly by the shoulder, and said, "You're coming with me." Freeman pushed on Cooper's shoulder to tell him to sit on the old wooden bench as he walked into Mr. G's office. Now they were in there talking as the stairs around the corner began to click, and then men in suits came around the corner and down the dark hall. Cooper recognized them as the two who sat in the light blue Mustang outside his house every day. They studied Cooper as they touched their ties and buttoned their jackets to enter the principal's office. After the cooks had left the cafeteria to go drive the bus, and Mrs. Feenster told her class to read silently while she strode out of her room to jog to the restroom, Cooper was called inside. He was hustled past Miss Johnson's secretary table to Mr. G's office, where Cooper sat in an orange plastic chair while Freeman and Mr. G and the two FBI agents sat on the edge of Mr. G's historic desk, gripping the wood with just the edge of their butts. Now Cooper headed down the retirement home hall, lit only by the 15-watt bulbs over each door, to his last drop. He turned at the turnaround door and headed back. Oswald's chin, he thought. What an obvious crop mark on that photo, the one in the backyard holding the rifle. Cooper's dad showed him the picture in Life magazine. Took him to the library just to show him, where someone had taken a razor blade and put somebody else's body under Oswald's face, cut at the chin. And they put it on the front page of Life freaking magazine. Who would want to do that? Who could do it? So that the photo was all ready for sending out minutes after Kennedy was shot in the head and dead. If that obvious crop mark, that's what they call them, crop marks. Not corn, but where it cuts. Then none of this out there is what it seems, is it? Well, that's what Cooper's dad had tried to explain that one day before he was gone. It's possible that nothing we think we know about Moon Rock Lake is true. Cooper had tried to get his dad to tell him the truth. Is the library really the dentist office then, he had asked? Is the ball field really a tennis court? But his dad just shook his head. annoyed that his boy did not get it. So Cooper was pretty sure he got it now. Nothing about this picture is true. There's a wizard somewhere pulling levers behind the curtain, but where is the curtain? He wished he could ask his dad that. Maybe it's all a dream or somebody's made-up story that never ends. Cooper did not want to think about that. Gave him a headache, just like thinking about being in heaven forever. Think about it. Never ending. Even if it's good, eating strawberry ice cream forever, playing baseball in the park on a nice day. Forever? That's scary, right? Scary, like thinking that the men who sit in front of Cooper's house to keep his dad from coming home were now after him, too. Well, all right then. Maybe it was because Cooper and his dad knew the secret that somebody chopped off Oswald's chin. Me and Dad. Bring it on, you stupid freaking assholes! Cooper picked the flag off its little mount on room 342 and stuffed it into his paper bag, then dropped the flag in a green garbage can on the other side of the big glass doors. That's the news from Moon Rock Lake, where all the police and soldiers are thugs, all the journalists and Democrats are cowards. And all the Homeland Security COINTELPRO lone gunmen are about average. The new American dream means never having to say some question or idea is not valid. We're allowed to ask any questions that we have. There are no wrong questions. There's no hidden black military budget. There are no UFO files Americans cannot see. No JFK documents that will not be opened during our lifetimes. No destroyed RFK murder photos by the LA police. No evidence from Ground Zero taken away before we can even look at it. We're not the USSR of the 1960s. This is supposed to be America. That is our dream, to become America, the new America, the real hope of the world. We have a dream of bringing the United States politicians, journalists, and generals who brought about the long 12-year war debacle to trial, put them on TV just like OJ every afternoon so every American can watch, just like the McCarthy hearings and the JFK funeral procession. What we need is a new American dream, not of new homes and toasters and microwaves, but of becoming the type of country we always thought we were. Right now we live on lies. We subsist on lies, but it's not really living. 9/11 was an inside job. Bush, Cheney, Rice, Powell, Rumsfeld, Ashcroft, Obama, Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Bill, Joe Biden. They all know that. What we need in America is a truth commission like they had in South Africa to heal their broken country. We need to put certain people on the stand. We need to be allowed to ask questions. Our country is surely broken as well. The troops are not protecting us. That's someone's spin on the day's news, somebody's advertising slogan, someone else's sermon. The troops serve the empire. They're not heroes. They kill and plunder for the empire. American bases overseas serve nobody but the empire. The heroes in our country are the protesters, the ones who go face to face with the empire. Those in the Plowshares movement, for one example. You have to know that Barack Obama knows the whole truth about the 9/11 attacks. He's complicit. He has lied. He's continued the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan based on a lie, and he knows he's lying. He lied right to our faces on national television when he said that Osama bin Laden had been killed and buried at sea. Osama bin Laden was buried at sea. Jessica Lynch was rescued heroically. The USA does not torture. Iraq has weapons of mass destruction. George Bush won the 2000 election. See, there is a plane in that hole in Shanksville. It went all the way into that hole. And no, there's no blood, no bodies, no luggage scattered, plane parts. And Osama bin Laden was buried at sea. Remember the anthrax letters which said, "Are you afraid? Those were not written with a rockin' chisel like Fred Flintstone from the recesses of some cave in Afghanistan. Those letters came from persons within our own government. Like a horror movie. And the killer is in the same house with us. These killers are right here with us. And they want us to be afraid. We cannot be afraid. Thank you. And good night, Mike.
And thanks to our guests, MK, Frank, Phil, Anthony, and Larry. Show archives are available at newdream.us, and we ask you to remember those in prison throughout the United States and Cuba, county jails, state prisons, federal prison, private prisons for profit, military gulags, never forget them, as well as those American political prisoners. For names and addresses, go online to nukeresister.org and Alliance for Global Justice. And as always, we apologize for our mistakes and are planning right now to make fewer mistakes next week. And so good night to my friends Chuck and Lorraine. Stay warm down there. And good night, Mrs. Calabash. Good night, Todd Beamer. Good night, Mark Bingham. Good night, Timothy McVeigh. Good night, Charlie Hebdo. Good night, Don Hawksprung. Good night, Muhammad Atta. And good night, Barbara Olson, wherever you are.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Imagine there's no countries, it isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for, and no religion too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will be as one.
People's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We've got to stop them! They're going to kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone or human being.
Time when the operation of the machine makes you so sick at heart that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener support.